Good morning, everybody. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have once again to listen to your word. Help us, Lord, to take heed of what you say, and help us, Lord, to be transformed by your Holy Spirit through your words, that we may live a life that is worthy of you, that we may rejoice in you, that we may give you glory, Lord. We pray for your help this morning. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So this morning I am filling in for our brother George. As you know, there has been this strand of flu that is particularly insidious, as a lot of people have been getting sick with that. And my brother George is coming back next week, so you'll hear from him again next Sunday. And we're thankful to have him back here again. So pray for all of those who are still sick with the flu and other things. It is something that's been going on for a while. I am revisiting a passage that I spoke about before. So if you hear some portions, something you've heard before, that's because you were paying attention in church back in 2016 again. So give yourself a pat in the back if you remember some of these things. I did some upgrades to this message, so it's not entirely the same. And this message today is one of my favorites because it's a message that has to do with Christmas. You know, most people like Christmas, but some people like Christmas way more than others, right? And these type of people have a special place in my heart. My daughter, Rebecca, is one of them. She's likely to wish you a Merry Christmas sometime towards the end of October. And I didn't know this was a thing, but she introduced me to the concept of Christmas in July. I'm coming from a different country. That was just strange. You know, Mexicans like Christmas too. And I'm sure people from other countries like Christmas a lot too. But when we travel to Mexico, and if you line up at the border, that border crossing towards those Christmas days is so full of people. Well, a couple of times we have traveled there and we are stuck for hours just waiting at the border to cross into Mexico. Because a lot of people are going there for Christmas. One time it happened to us, but we crossed the border, and then one of the toll roads going into the town where I live, the line was again really long, and we thought there was an accident. And all it really was is people were trying to cross the toll booth, but there were just so many cars that were getting there because of Christmas. So why all these people, including ourselves, are so excited to travel in Christmas time? Well, I think people travel during Christmas because their tanks are full of hope, right? There's a lot of things to look forward to when we are nearing Christmas. One of the things we look forward to is celebrating with friends and family. We get to see people we haven't seen for a long time. Some of us get good gifts. Some of us don't get really good gifts, but we are looking forward to that exchange of gifts. We look forward to good food, especially if you go to Mexico or wherever you may go. You came from, I'm sure you get to celebrate and enjoy really good food. You know, all these things are really good things to look forward to. But today I would like to read about two people who waited for Christmas more than anyone that I've ever met. These two people waited for Christmas more than anyone that I've ever known. I'm going to give you four clues, and you may already know who these two people are. But if you don't, I'm going to give you four clues, and this gives us some information about these two people. These two people waited for Christmas all their lives. And throughout their lives, they probably thought about Christmas even in months like July. Back then, of course, Christmas wasn't really celebrated, but they were waiting for Christmas. These two individuals had their first Christmas experience almost at the time of their death, at a very old age. They were very old before they experienced this first Christmas. They had this first Christmas experience. And when these two people finally witnessed the miracle of Christmas, all their hopes were fulfilled. Christmas was really the greatest gift for these two people. Once Christmas arrived, and once these two people got to experience Christmas, we want to put it that way, they could not help themselves but to tell others about Jesus. They told everyone they knew of what they had just witnessed. So who are these two people? I'll give you an extra clue. these two people are in your Bibles, which is a good thing, right? So we're going to go to Luke chapter 2 to find out who these two people are. And this passage begins on verse 21. This is actually after Christmas, 8 days after Christmas, after the birth of Jesus. On verse 21, we'll read about his circumcision. And I'm going to read chapter 2 and verse 21. And it says, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." So 8 days after his birth, as it was the custom of the Jews, Jesus was circumcised. This practice came, we know, from Genesis chapter 17 and then in the law again in Leviticus chapter 12. And at this time, the name Jesus was given to our Lord because of what the angel Gabriel had predicted in Luke chapter 1, that you should call his name Jesus, a very fitting name for this passage and for Christmas, which means God saves or God rescues. You know, Luke is the only gospel from the four gospels that narrates the birth of Jesus. And he's very careful as he narrates the birth of Jesus to draw our attention to Joseph's and Mary's adherence to the law in everything that had to be done from the birth of Jesus. Let's look at verses 22 through 24 as our passage continues. It says, "Now when the days of her purification," this is Mary's purification after she had Jesus, "were over, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." So after his circumcision, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to observe the next two ordinances that must have taken place after the circumcision or after the birth of a child. And these two ordinances were done at the same time, just to, I guess, take advantage of the trip also, because it's what the law prescribed. And the first one that happened was purification. Mary had to be purified after the birth of Jesus, as it was prescribed in the law. This practice came from Leviticus chapter 12, and it's mentioned here. And it was done 33 days after circumcision. So this makes the Lord Jesus be about 41 days old when he was brought into the temple. Just as a side note, in the case of a girl, it was 60 days after her birth. She was brought into the temple, not to be presented, but for the mom to be purified. Now, families with low incomes wouldn't be required to bring a lamb, but they could bring two turtle doves for a sacrifice. And this indicates that the offering that Mary and Joseph brought was the more affordable one. And this tells us that our Lord was really born into humble means. He was not born into money. Mary and Joseph brought what they could. Now, the other reason to come into the temple was to present the firstborn. This practice came from the book of Exodus when the Lord slayed all the firstborns from Egypt, from the last plague. And from there, the Lord commanded the people of Israel that every firstborn that opened the womb was to be dedicated to the Lord. And when they came into the temple, there were two ways in doing this. Some people would dedicate their children to the Lord and leave him working at the temple, like it was the case of Samuel. Or they could also be redeemed for 5 cycles, according to Numbers chapter 3. In this case, the passage doesn't indicate which one was done, but it is most likely that Christ was not redeemed for the 5 cycles and that Christ was given as someone who was consecrated and belonging to the Lord. Now, this was Jesus' first visit to the temple. And this is something very interesting, that Jesus' first entrance into the temple wasn't as an adult. It was as a young child. It was as a baby. This was the first time that Jesus was going to enter into the temple. And this was a very momentous occasion. Nobody really seemed to know what was happening, including Joseph and Mary, but this was a very momentous occasion because this was going to be the first time that the Lord was going to enter into the temple. This event had been predicted in Malachi, and I'm reading from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek Listen to what it says here. Will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So this sudden appearance of the Lord of the temple required witnesses to attest of this magnificent event. There had to be someone who said something about his first appearance into the temple. Now, these witnesses had to be worthy of the task that God had chosen them to do. And these two witnesses that we're going to learn about today, they have waited for the birth of Jesus all their lives. These were two individuals that were waiting for Christmas all their lives. And they waited for him more than anything else. So the two witnesses that God chose were Simeon and Anna. And I'm just going to skip two verses here just to read about the two of them. On verse 25, we read about Simeon, and it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout." Now let's skip to verse 36 to read about the other one. "Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher." These two people were the people whom God chose to be the witnesses of Christ's first arrival at the temple, his presentation. So I'd like to start with one question. We're only going to answer two questions today, but the first question I think is very important. Why did the Lord choose these two people to be his witnesses when he entered into his temple? Why them and maybe not others who may have had more clout or more public relation image to present the Lord? Why two old people? Why them? And we know that the answer to this why sometimes, all the time, when we start to think about why God chose somebody and not somebody else, it is always by the grace of God. That is why we are chosen. But there are important details about their character here in our passage that points that God's grace had been at work in the lives of Simeon and in the life of Anna. So first, we're going to focus on the characteristics of Simeon as to why God chose him. And then we're going to look at the characteristics of Anna as witnesses whom God chose for this most momentous occasion. So let's look at Simeon's characteristics as a witness. Let's look again at verse 25. It tells us two things that Simeon was. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." And it says, "And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." So this verse tells us two things about the character of Simeon. He was just and he was devout. Just means that his lifestyle inside out reflected faith of God with obedience. You know, this is in contrast to the Jews that lived in his day and all his Pharisees who just had like an outward appearance of righteousness. This Simeon was truly a just man. And I believe the source of his just character was no other than the grace of God, because he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for Christ. He had faith in Christ, and that justice that he lived by derived from this faith. His faith was legitimate, and so was his just character. The second thing we hear about Simeon is that he was a devout man. Devout can mean, this word can mean reverent or sometimes careful. So this tells us that Simeon was serious about his faith in God in practice. He took his relationship with God very seriously. His relationship with God was very important to Simeon. Now, it is one thing for me to say someone who is just and devout of a young person, for example, if I say Emmanuel, just using you as I have you right here, but I don't mean anything here. Say of Emmanuel, he is just and he is devout. Well, that is a good thing. But Emmanuel is young, and it is a good thing for him to be just and devout in his young age. But when you say of an old person that he was a just and devout man, you're speaking of someone who has gone the distance. Somebody who over the years has simmered this type of character of being just and devout, taking his relationship with the Lord seriously and having a lifestyle that reflects his faith in the Lord, having a just lifestyle. So I think an important question here is, why is it that helps Simeon be this way? How can I be old one day and be a just and devout man like Simeon? I aspire to do that because I want to be old, and because I want to, when I get old, I want to be also just and devout like Simeon. And I think there are three secret ingredients, or there's a secret sauce, if you want to put it that way, that the passage tells us about who Simeon was and why he was this way in his practice. How can Simeon develop this just and devout character? So let's look at three things really quick. First of all, we see that in verse 25, Simeon knew the word of God. It says here that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And what this implies is that Simeon knew what the word of God had to say about the consolation of Israel. This means that Simeon knew the word of God. And when he was there at the temple, and when he would visit this temple waiting for the Lord to appear, he knew the word of God. So he was a just and devout man, and he was a man who knew the word of God. In order to be just and devout, we must be men and women of the word. In verse 25, we see that also Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit, and that day when he found himself in the temple, it wasn't by chance, it was because the Holy Spirit had led him there. Perhaps Simeon didn't want to go, perhaps Simeon was feeling tired, but the Holy Spirit led him there that day into the temple, and he listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that is another ingredient, I believe, of Simeon's character of being a just and devout man. Let's skip to verse 29 and let's think one more thing about Simeon. And I'm reading verse 29. It says, probably wasn't verse 29. Hold on. Yeah, it is the verse 29. I'm sorry. It says, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. Simeon calls himself the Lord's servant. That means that Simeon knows his place before God. And this word servant is the word bondslave or bondservant. That means that Simeon had a low concept of himself, but he had a great concept about God. For Simeon, God was really important. Simeon calls the Lord the sovereign Lord, the Lord who can do anything as he pleases. And Simeon knew his place. God, you are the master, and I am your servant. So I believe these three things contributed to Simeon's just and devout character. He was led by the Holy Spirit, he knew the word of God, and he knew his place before the Lord as his servant. So through this devout and just man, on this occasion of a lifetime, God revealed two amazing prophecies to Simeon, and these prophecies are so mesmerizing, because in the days of Simeon, these prophecies that are spoken really tell us everything that was going to be happening to Jesus. Let's read verses 28 through 32 to look at the first prophecy. And when the parents brought him into the child Jesus, it says by verse 28, he took him up on his arm and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So in verses 28 and 29, it says that Simeon, this old man, takes Jesus as a 41-year-old baby into his arms. Imagine the scene, an old man holding the Lord into his arms, fully aware of whom he was. And when he takes this baby into his arms, he says, this is the Savior. Imagine the fulfillment that Simeon felt at that moment. The long-awaited hope of Israel and the world were in the arms of this old man. When Simeon took the baby into his arms, his lifetime hopes in the word of God became fulfilled. Christmas arrived into his arms, so to speak. All the hopes that he had for the salvation of Israel, for the salvation of his people, were materialized in that moment. And from this moment, Simeon prophesied three fundamental truths about Christ's saving work. First, in verse 30, we see that Simeon prophesied that Jesus is God's salvation. Notice that Simeon doesn't say when he carried the baby, "My eyes have seen Jesus," or "I have met Jesus." Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." All the way from the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, where Adam and Eve sinned, this has been the hope of humanity. Everybody had sinned. Everybody was dying. There was no hope in this life. But then Simeon carried this baby and he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And Simeon applied this truth to himself and he said, "This is my Savior too. He is the one who is here to save me from my sin." Simeon prophesied on verse 31, as we just read, that salvation was going to be for all peoples. Simeon declared that salvation was not exclusively just for Israel, even though he was a Jew himself, but for all peoples, including the Gentiles. And then Simeon prophesied also the order of salvation in verse 32. It says that it will be a light for the revelation of the Gentiles. So Simeon really was ahead of his time. He's prophesying here that on his first coming, the salvation of the Lord was going to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. People from India, from Mexico, from wherever you come from, we can access salvation because of what Jesus did, because of this prophecy right here. He became a light for us. And then he prophesies his second coming and the glory of your people, Israel. Simeon was truly a man ahead of his time. And this is not accidental, of course. This was the prophecy that he received from the Lord. So from this prophecy that Simeon received as a short application, we can observe three rewards that came to him for waiting for Jesus. We know that Simeon was always waiting for the Lord. That's what he did. And as we wait for Jesus, we can also take hand of these three rewards. The first reward that Simeon received is because he waited on Christ, he was rewarded with preparation for death. Look at verse 29. It says, Now, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. Simeon applied the truths of Christ to his own salvation. And when he had this baby in his arms, even though he was an old man ready to leave this world, he felt that peace that only God can give us at that moment. "I can now depart in peace." All of us who wait in the Lord Jesus Christ can also claim this reward. Those who wait in the Lord can have this confidence at the time of our death. The second reward is those who hope in Christ are rewarded with seeing their godly desires fulfilled. Simeon waited all his life for this desire to come true, to see the Lord. And as he waited for the Lord, you may think about Simeon, you're going to get old and you may not see the Lord. But ultimately, he had all his desires fulfilled. And just bringing it up to us, Simeon was waiting for the first advent of the Lord. We are waiting for his second advent. And sometimes we may feel like Simeon, I get older every day and the Lord doesn't seem to return. He may or may not return in my lifetime, but ultimately we will all resurrect, and all of us who hope in the Lord, who wait on him, just like Simeon saw the Lord face to face that day, we will also see this desire fulfilled in our lives. Those who wait on Christ are rewarded with an understanding of God's will. Simeon was waiting for Christ, and God gave him this amazing prophecy as an understanding that he really was ahead of his time. Simeon received revelation from the Holy Spirit, and Simeon received this understanding of God's plan of salvation through Jesus in all the stages, from his birth, from what he was going to suffer, to what it was going to affect, how his first and second coming was going to affect the Gentiles and then his people. Simeon was given this wonderful revelation because he was waiting on the Lord. So these three rewards came to Simeon because he waited on the Lord, and all of us who wait on the Lord can also expect these rewards. So that was the first prophecy of Simeon. The first prophecy was a prophecy about his saving work. His second prophecy has to do with his sufferings. Look at verses 33 through 35. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and raising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own sword also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I can't imagine what Joseph and Mary felt when they were at the temple and this old man is carrying their baby and he's saying all these things about their son Jesus. They were amazed, it says right here. They were not expecting all this on their first visit to the temple with Jesus. After all, they were just fulfilling the law. But Simeon says all these things and they were just amazed. And just at that moment, in the next verse comes a transition, comes a difficult prophecy from Simeon. And notice in that verse that it says that Simeon blessed them. And I think this was very important to preface what he was about to say next, because Joseph and Mary had to understand that what Jesus was going to suffer was indeed a blessing. It was important for them to know that the sufferings of Christ that Simeon was predicting here was going to be ultimately for the greater blessing that God had in mind for all of us. So I believe this blessing prepared Joseph and Mary to hear what Simeon was going to say next. First, he says that Christ was going to come from the fall and rise of many. So Simeon is telling Joseph and Mary that this Lord, that our Lord Jesus Christ, was going to come, and some would believe in him and they will be risen with him. But some also will reject him, and that will be their ultimate fall. He will come here to polarize those two. And some will fall, and some will rise. Not everybody will rise, but also, by God's grace, like me and you, not everybody would fall. It also says that he was to be a sign which will be spoken against. This was a prediction that our Lord, in his ministry on this earth, was going to suffer opposition. He was not going to be received. When we see a sign, when we put a sign on the road, we expect people to follow it and make that turn or whatever that sign may be. But the sign that Jesus was going to bring for salvation was not a sign that everybody was going to receive. People were going to have a great deal of controversy over what Jesus was going to come to do. He was not going to be heeded by all, but rather, in general terms, he was going to be rejected. Then he tells Mary, I think the most difficult thing for her, it says, a sword will pierce through your soul. The death of Jesus was announced to Mary when Jesus was only 42 days old. This must have been very difficult for her to hear, but he is reminding Mary that his death will serve the greatest purpose ever. Simeon, after all, was showing Mary with his own example that he had received consolation from death, from holding Jesus, and one day her own death will be in the hands of the Lord. Simeon was comforted by the Lord Jesus, and he is letting Mary know, you will receive this comfort too, but it will be difficult for you. Finally, it says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, the thoughts of our heart are always hidden. There, in the days of Christ, there were hypocrites, there was Herod, there were the soldiers, all these different people, and the thoughts of their heart were hidden. But when Jesus was at the cross, all the thoughts were revealed, weren't they? What everybody really thought about God was said to Jesus on that day. What everybody felt about God was expressed to Jesus on the day of his death. The Pharisees showed their true colors. The soldiers saw their true colors. Pilate showed his cowardice. Everybody was guilty. And those who believed in him also showed their true faith in the Lord. He is going to reveal the thoughts of many hearts, said here, Simeon. So the last thing I want to say about this prophecy of Simeon is, if you notice, his first prophecy was a really nice prophecy, right? When he tells everybody that he was going to be this, he tells them that he was going to be the salvation of his people. But this second prophecy is quite difficult to express. And I think this is an important thing to notice here, that somebody who is given the ability to speak the prophecy of God or to speak from the word of God has to do a faithful job. It would have been easier, even though it would be wrong for Simeon, to just stop at the first prophecy and sugarcoat the second one a little bit more. But a faithful servant of the word of God speaks things that are easy for people to hear and things that are also sometimes hard to say. But this is the kind of witness that Simeon was. Now let's look at the second witness. The second witness was Anna. That's on verses 36 through 38. And let me just read those verses from here. It says, now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for the redemption in Jerusalem. So Anna was an elderly prophetess from the tribe of Asher. Now, this text can be interpreted in different ways about her age. It says that she was 84 years serving in the temple, right? So she had a role, she had a difficult life. Anna's husband died after 7 years, and then she became a widow. So this could have been 84, or she could be older than 95. We don't know which one it is, but we believe that it's just mentioning here that for 84 years, or at least at the age of 84, after the death of her husband, she was faithfully devoted to go to the temple to pray and to fast and to offer supplications for the people of Israel. 84 years of faithful service to the Lord. What a testimony. Her service included prayer and fasting. And sometimes on Wednesday nights, for example, it's difficult for many of us, including myself, to come to prayer meeting. And we may come to 3 or 4 and feel good about it. But here we have Anna for 84 years. It is an important ministry to pray and to fast. And this is what Anna dedicated herself to do all her life. So we see that Anna was persevering. She persevered during a very difficult test, the death of her husband. When she found herself a widow, she occupied herself in the service of the Lord fully. Anna was a servant. She served the Lord night and day. It is possible that she had quarters in the temple that she could spend the night there, but she was really there all the time. Anna prayed and fasted continuously. And Anna, in verse 38, became an immediate witness of our Lord. Look at verse 38 once again. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. And what did she do? And spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. When she witnessed the entrance of our Lord, when she heard that Christ was there, her life now shifted and she was now dedicated to tell others about Christ. So what were the characteristics of Anna and Simeon in the presentation of Christ? Why did God choose these two people? Well, we learned that Simeon was just and devout, and Anna was persevering, patient, helpful, continually dedicated to prayer, and a faithful witness of Christ. Now, the second question, and we won't spend too much time on this one, but I think it's important to close our passage, is what were God's purposes for Anna and for Simeon? Why chose them and what was the purpose for them? I think the first purpose for Anna and Simeon was to experience Christmas, if you want to put it that way, or to experience the arrival of the Savior, the arrival of Christ, a hope that they had for all their lives. You know, God has this purpose for me and you too, because one day we're going to see Christ face to face. The same purpose of experiencing the presence of our Lord is also given to us. Anna and Simeon were chosen to be witnesses of the meaning of Christ. And we have witnessed this too. If you are saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, we know what Christ means to you and to me. And third, Anna and Simeon, their purpose was there to announce to others the blessings for which Christ came into this world. That is why Anna and Simeon were purposed to do, and this is the same purpose we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We are here to announce the blessings of Christ and why he came into this world, and Christmas, of course, always gives us a very good segue to speak about this. Now, I don't know if Christmas happened on December 24th. I don't want to get into all this controversy of what should be or should not be celebrated in Christmas, but when we celebrate Christmas, we don't have to celebrate Christmas in our hearts just in December. We don't have to just think of the birth of Christ during this month. We can think of his birth all year long. And not just think of his birth, but think about the purpose of him coming into this world to die and pay for our sins. And throughout the year, we can have, if you want to call it Christmas in July, we can tell people about that. We can tell people about that all year long. Christ is the hope of every day of our life, just like he was the hope of Anna and Simeon every day of their lives until the day they met the Lord that morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two witnesses that you taught us about this morning. And as we look at the character of Anna and Simeon, Lord, that's what I want to be when I am old. I want to be a just and devout person. I want to be involved in your service. And I want to proclaim who Christ is to others and what he has done for me, for the great salvation that he accomplished in saving somebody unworthy as I was, unworthy as I am, to be saved. Help us, Lord, to spread the message this Christmas and throughout the year why Christ came into this world, and help us, Lord, to continue to grow in our character and in the grace that you have given us to be men and women of God like Simeon and Anna, who live their lives for you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.